If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. We'll also hit one other place, so if you put your finger there, you can also go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2. We'll be there towards the end of the message as well. We're going to continue our series, A Cinematic Christmas. The last several weeks, we've found that this Christmas season, at this time of year, we see these biblical truths of Advent, hope, peace, joy, love, redemption. They're shown not just in our church services, but we see them in secular culture as well. We saw hope in the eyes of Ralphie hoping for the gift of a BB gun. We saw the peace that came with George Bailey as he understood what life might be like without him. And this morning, we're going to discover joy through the eyes of a unique individual. So I want to share with you what Christmas joy really looks like this morning.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Passion fruit spray?
Fruit spray? Sure.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for an announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa here? I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Wait.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys. See?
How many of y'all saw that guy at the mall when you were shopping this weekend, right? The one who's just a little too excited. That's the joy that we look for this Christmas season, right? The joy of Buddy the Elf. The excitement of Christmas and Santa and presents and snow. Of course, we're a little behind on the excitement for snow this year, but we get excited this time of year. We see the excitement on our children's faces as they're looking forward to Christmas morning. We see the excitement Black Friday when you go shopping and how much joy there is, beating each other over the heads for toys. I mean, you see the joy and the excitement everywhere. This morning, I want to discover joy not just because of weather or Santa, not just because of presents or what we may get. I want to look at how we can discover joy in the person of Jesus Christ this morning, the true source of our joy. You know, in the Christmas story in Scripture, we see, as it's found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 2, when you talk about his birth, we see the word joy or a deviation of the word joy only twice. It's a little surprising to me. I expected when I was preparing a message on joy to find it all over Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and then Luke chapter 2. I expected there to be joy everywhere. And yet there are two instances that we see joy, and I think it's because of this. I think it's because we cheapen the word joy oftentimes. We start to equate it with things like happiness. We start to equate it with things like a good feeling. And so we throw this word joy out as if it's just another emotion that we may feel from time to time. But true joy is so much more than just happiness or contentment. True joy requires a source that gives life to our excitement and our happiness. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe wholeheartedly that joy and happiness are linked, but they're not equal. I've never seen a sad, joyful person. It's just hard to be sad and joyful at the same time. But joy is so much more than just happiness. Joy is so much more than just smiling. Joy is this idea that there's something inside you that you have to let bubble out. There's something inside you that you're just so excited about, you have to yell and scream. Joy is Buddy the Elf finding that Santa is coming to the store and just letting out a scream. Joy is hearing a 5-year-old call your husband 100 years old and you just have to bellow out in a laugh. Joy is hearing this excitement, knowing something powerful has happened, and you cannot help but let it out. This morning, I want to read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, as the shepherds experience this joy. Read with me, starting in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The first characters we find in Scripture to hear about this joyous event is the shepherds. And you see this stark contrast of emotions they felt. When the angel first appears, it says the shepherds were terrified. Fear. You know, fear may be the opposite of joy. Fear may be what we experience when we have no joy. This apprehension, this uncertainty, as if we're cowering away and hiding. Joy, on the other hand, we don't want to cower away. We want to stand up and shout and for everyone to see. The shepherds are terrified, and the angel says, "Wait, I bring you good news of great joy. Do not be afraid. Do not hide. Do not cower. The news I have for you is going to make you want to stand and shout." And then he goes on to tell about the birth of Christ. This morning, I realize we're not all happy all the time. I realize we're not always excited all the time. I realize that when life gets a hold of us, every once in a while we feel fearful, we feel apprehension, we feel sadness and scared. But this morning, I want you to know there was always a reason to feel joy. The message the angel has for the shepherds is one to remind them, in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your terror, in the midst of your brokenheartedness, there is a source which brings ultimate joy. This morning, I would like to discover that joy. What makes us joyful this Christmas season and carries out throughout the year? The first source of our joy, and if you have your bulletin, you can follow along and fill in the blanks. The first source we have is this: the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. We are joyful because Jesus Christ is here on earth. As we looked the last couple of weeks at peace and hope, we saw this coming promise, this Messiah that will be here at some point one day. There was a hope in the book of Ezekiel that the Messiah would come and bring the people together. There was a peace in the life of Simeon because one day his peace would be complete and made perfect, and he saw evidence of it in the person of Christ. But this morning, the shepherds aren't told there is a future joy that is coming. They are told that joy is here right now. Look in Luke chapter 2 again, verse 11. The angel says, "Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. Not tomorrow, not some point in the future. Today, the Messiah has come. We can have great joy in knowing that the promise we have, the promise that is to be fulfilled of perfect peace, the hope that we've been longing for, the redemption which is promised to us throughout the Old Testament, has come to fruition here in the person of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we see very clearly the angel states this child is the Messiah. There's no question about who this baby is. It's not this is a special child or a child who you will see grow into this great king. No, this child, this baby is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is here. You know, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our terror, in the midst of us cowering away, if we're downhearted or brokenhearted, we have this promise that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Savior of the world, has come, and He is present with us in all things. There is great joy and great comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ is here. But it's not enough for the angel that the Messiah has come. There is more to this Messiah. Now let me go ahead and say, if this was all the message that the angel had, it would be enough. Jesus Christ is present with you. Emmanuel means God is with you. You no longer are alone. But the angel says there is more. Because the Messiah has come, and your second blank, He is for all people. He is for all people. It's no mistake that the angel went and visited the shepherds. I'm sure you've heard stories of why the shepherds may have been visited, their lowly state. They smelled and were outcast. They were sent away and they were hated by the people in the town. You've heard these stories about who the shepherds are and the fact that what qualified them for being received by the angel was the fact that they were nobodies. And there's some truth to that, but also the reason why we find the angel speaking to the shepherds is to remind not that the shepherds are special, but that the shepherds are not. The angel comes and visits the shepherds not because he had some great revelation to give to nobody. He had some great revelation to give to everybody. And he starts with these lowly shepherds. Now, the king was coming for the nation of Israel. The Messiah was supposed to arrive, and he was supposed to come for the people of Israel. But many of these shepherds would not have been Israelites. These shepherds, we don't even know if they were Jewish. We don't even know if they were people who were accepted into the Jewish faith. Religiously, they would have been outcasts and put aside. They weren't even part of the ones who were thought to be the chosen people of God. And yet, the angels come and say, the Savior is here for you. Look at verse 10. Flip back just one verse. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you, you shepherds, good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This joy is not just for a certain amount of people. This is for everyone, including the outcasts, including the shepherds, including the kings, and including everyone in between. Then verse 11, today again says, "Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David." It's very clear that the angel says this Messiah was born for you shepherds, just as he was born for kings. This Messiah is born not just for those who are great, but for those who are humble as well. This morning, I want to promise you something. I know at some point in your life you have felt as if you are worthless, and that there is no overcoming your sin or your shame. I know, because some of you in here and others of you are thinking, and in times past as being a pastor, I've heard person after person after person and come to me and just share, "I'm just not sure that Jesus Christ wants to save me. I'm just not sure that I'm worth saving." I mean, if you've seen the sin in my life, if you've seen some of the despicable things I've done, if you have seen how much I have run away, if you knew me in my past relationships, if you understood the way I treated people or the things that I did that would have me in jail if I admitted them. The terror in my life, the things in my past, God could not possibly die for and forgive me. You know, it's funny because what we find in Scripture is over and over and over again, the people who are most likely to come to Christ are those people who feel like Jesus can't die for them. They're the ones who say, I'm outcast. They're the ones who say, I'm not worth it. The ones who say, I have been too sinful. They're the shepherds. The ones who everyone looks at, snubs their noses and say, you've done too much. You're too filthy. You're unworthy. And it's those very people that Jesus Christ comes and says, I'm dying for you. The history of our faith, the history of God working on this earth, is a story that tells us that God is not just for a select group. God is for all who trust in Him. That's why we read in Acts, as Peter is preaching in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he says that God has come for all nations, for all people. That's why we read quotes all through the New Testament, including in Romans, where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's why we have the most quoted Bible verse ever. Jesus speaking in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the entire world of every faith, of every religion, of every ethnicity, and gives them the opportunity to know Christ. Now, we have a decision to make, don't we? The opportunity is there, regardless of what you currently believe, regardless of your current lifestyle, regardless of how you currently act. The opportunity is there because Jesus Christ came for all people. But Jesus Christ is very personal. Our last blank is this: we now have joy because we personally know Him. You know, Jesus Christ came to die for every individual. His birth is for every person. And the basis of their prior faith, the basis of their prior lifestyle, the basis of their prior sin does not matter, so long as we make the basis of our knowledge of Him a personal relationship and conform now to His truth and His Word. You know, there is great joy in knowing not just that Jesus Christ died for a large group of people. There is great joy in knowing that Jesus Christ came to this earth personally for you. God is a very personal God. I said joy was used two times in the Christmas story in Scripture. One is in reference to the shepherds here in Luke chapter 2. But we find this word again in Matthew chapter 2. So turn with me over to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read a couple of verses where we see some men who experienced this joy they cannot contain. And it's not because they were lowly shepherds. It's not because they were poor and outcasts. They received joy because of the personal connection they have with Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says this: when they, these wise men, saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Here in Matthew chapter 2, we see the story of these wise men who have traveled from a great distance away in the east and have followed this star to find now this Jesus, this Messiah, this Savior. And as excited as they were for the journey, as excited as they were to find this Messiah, it was the moment that they personally interacted with Him, the moment that they realized the star had stopped, the moment that they went into the house and saw the child Jesus with His mother, at that moment they were overjoyed beyond measure. They could not contain their excitement. Their seeking after the Messiah had been fulfilled in the person of Jesus. This morning, we have great joy because we personally have an interaction with Christ. And regardless of all of our past sin, regardless of all of our past shame, today, right now, we can personally know this Christ. This joy that we experience when we finally submit, when we look and see that our sins are wiped clean, when we understand who we are in Christ, is a joy we cannot contain. Last year around Christmas time, just like many of you do with your children or grandchildren, we were building up some excitement about Christmas morning. The girls made their Christmas lists, and they had went and talked to Santa about what they wanted, and they mailed letters to the North Pole, and they did all the things that kids do. And of course, like any good parent, we explained to them the stipulations of Santa Claus. There's two lists. You can be on the nice list, or you can be on the naughty list. And so there's this understanding that if you want to get presents from Santa, you need to be over here on the nice list. I don't know how many times I threatened with coal. Oh, you're getting a lump of coal in your stocking if you don't behave, you know. And we go through this understanding of who Santa is and what the stipulations are. Christmas morning, the girls wake up and they come downstairs, and Ashton looks down, my five-year-old, then four-year-old, and sees presents under the tree with her name on them. And the first thing out of her mouth, just like Buddy the Elf, "Santa came! Santa came!" And then she, almost as if she realizes what this means, she says, "I've been good! I've been good!" You did. You know, that joy that she experienced in that moment is a reminder of the joy we have when we look at our relationship with Christ. When we personally know Him, and we understand we've not been perfect, we've sinned, we've made mistakes, but when we turn our life over to Christ, when we fully trust Him, there's this understanding that the Father looks down at us, and He doesn't see our sin and our shame. He doesn't see our guilt or our naughtiness. He looks down and He says, "You are my good child." And there's this joy and understanding that the Creator of the universe, God Himself, looks down at us and says, "You've been good." Not because of what we've done or what we've earned, not because we've been perfect or lived great lives, but because we personally know Christ. Our sins are removed, we have forgiveness, and ultimately, we are now placed on a much greater list than the nice list. Our names are written in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. All of our sins and our prior past and our history has been vanquished. We are forgiven and we are made right. There is great joy in knowing not just who Jesus is, but what Jesus has come for and what He has done. We personally have this relationship with Christ. There is no greater joy than knowing Christ and knowing Him personally. When we talk about joy at Christmas season, it's discovering not just that Jesus is here, but He is here for everyone. And not just that Jesus is here for everyone, but that He has come specifically for you. That you may have life, that you may know your sins are forgiven, and that you may now have a path laid out through His Word, a manual on how we are to live, how He created us to be. This Christmas, there is great joy in knowing who the Messiah is. As we get ready to have a time of invitation, as we start praying and thinking about joy in our lives, maybe you've never experienced that joy of knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing that God looks down and says, "You are my good child." Maybe this morning it's time for you to embrace this personal relationship with Christ. Scripture says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, if you will say, "I'll follow how you want me to live," and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, in other words, you will say, "I know that your death and your resurrection has forgiven my sins," then you will be saved. This morning, you can experience that joy simply by acknowledging, "Jesus, you're Lord, and you've created me for a better life than the one I'm living. Jesus, you are Savior, and the sins in my life need to be forgiven to know you, and only you have the power to forgive them." This morning, in that moment, as you embrace Jesus as Lord and as Savior, you can experience the joy of knowing that Christ has come for all people and specifically for you. And then that joy will overbubble, will overflow and cause us to leap out and sing in excitement because of who Christ is and what he has done. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you. I thank you for this unbelievable joy. Lord, I thank you that the Messiah is here, the one we have looked forward to, the one that has been promised all through the Old Testament. The Messiah has come, and he's come in the person of Jesus Christ. He's come in the form of a baby. He's come in the form of this lowly child. Lord, the Messiah is here and is ready to accomplish your will. And he's come not just for the elite, not just for the Israelites, not just for a select group of people. He's come for everyone, everywhere, no matter their background, no matter their history. Whether they're outcast shepherds standing in a field, whether they're the people of Israel in the town of Bethlehem, whether they are wise men traveling from east with whatever religious background they may be bringing with them. Lord, in the moment, you have come for all people. But Lord, we acknowledge that all people do not welcome your coming. So Lord, I thank you that you did not just come for the world, but you came for us as individuals. Lord, you don't issue this genuine come to me, but you convict our hearts and you call us to submit to you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for coming personally for me. I thank you that I can know you. Not just know about you, not just know the story, but I can know you the way I know my family. I can know you the way I have relationships with others. I can know you in a real and personal way. This morning, Lord, I pray that we would have great joy in knowing that we have a relationship with you. And Lord, for those in here this morning who are holding back for one reason or another, I pray you would show them a glimpse of the joy they have in knowing you. I pray they would submit their lives to you and say, your way is better than my way. I pray that they would ask forgiveness of their sins, acknowledging that your standard is greater than their standard. And Lord, I pray that you would show them that all of their sins in the past can be forgiven in trusting you personally. Lord, this morning, move in the hearts of your people. Move in the hearts of your children this morning that you're calling to experience that joy. Lord, we just pray that we would worship you for bringing us this great joy, this great news, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It's in your name we pray. Amen.